Well, amen. Good evening. Good to see everybody. We're Michael and Stephanie Santiago, and we have the privilege of sharing with y'all a little bit of our story. I don't know about you, but this week is already going fast and furious, so let me take a moment and pray for all of us, right, so we can all be here and present and just celebrate God's goodness. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the grace and the mercy that you show each of us as individuals and then within the context of our marriage. Father, thank you that there is still grace found in relationship with you, that you are constantly reaching out to us, wanting relationship with us first and then relationship with us in our respective marriages. Father, we thank you for tonight. And Father, that our hearts and our minds can be present for the next few minutes, just to be reminded of truth. And that truth is your son, Jesus, not only his sacrifice on the cross, but the abundant life he has called us to have by seeking relationship with him. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. My name is Michael Santiago, and this lovely lady to my right, stage left, is my wife, Stephanie. We've been married for 18 years, and we have two boys. Drew is 14 in 8th grade, and Aaron is 12 in 6th grade. And so right now, we're having a lot of fun with grocery bills and boys being active and just in the midst of junior high. So I myself grew up in Germany along with two siblings, a brother and sister, and we grew up military brats. We lived at that time in what was known as West Germany. We were there for 11 years and got to see some amazing things growing up in that country. And I would say this, that in the fall of my 7th grade year, I saw the bottom fall out of my mom and dad's marriage. They divorced by the time I was a sophomore, and my dad remarried right after I graduated from high school. And when he remarried, I got the addition of two stepbrothers and a stepsister. During my time in Europe, I grew up pursuing sports, Boy Scouts, and ROTC. And that's where I found my fulfillment. That's where I found my validation. I poured all my heart and soul into that because I had a very lacking relationship with my mom and dad as I saw that relationship deteriorate very quickly. Found out also that that did not work along with unfiltered relationships that I had with girls at that time.
I grew up in Pennsylvania with both of my parents, and I'm the middle of three daughters. And I accepted Christ as my Savior at 5 years old. My dad was my pastor and my youth pastor. We were a pretty close family, but I always sought advice from my friends growing up. And overall, I was a very obedient child, wanted to please my parents, do the right thing. I had no interest in dating, but I was always told when I was 16 that I was allowed to date. So when I turned 16 and someone asked me out, I started dating. But with little advice from my parents and worldly advice from my friends, my dating relationships were anything but honoring to the Lord.
At the age of 19, in the summer of 1992, Hudson Huff shared with me the gospel and my need for a Savior. A week later, I committed my life to Christ on a Sunday morning, beginning the adventure and the challenge of walking with Jesus Christ in a personal relationship. Amen. 5 years later, the summer before I went up to South Central Pennsylvania for my best friend's wedding, I ended my relationship with someone I thought I would end up marrying. I moved to Dallas at the end of that summer to continue working with Walmart Incorporated. I was in distribution at that time, as well as take a position as a student ministries pastor in East Richardson, Texas.
So after 7 years of dating and several long-term relationships, I had the summer before my sister's wedding had just ended a long-term relationship and had sworn off guys. I was done with that part of my life. I had realized that those relationships were defining who I was, and I refocused my attention towards the Lord and my focus towards the Lord. So my sister married Michael's best friend. So at the wedding, I was not looking for a relationship, but Michael was very sweet and a gentleman from Texas, and he loved the Lord, all of which I did not have in my previous relationships. So of course I was interested. And I had always dreamed of a little girl, of marrying the perfect guy and having the perfect marriage, perfect kids, and just this perfect life. And Michael seemed to fit that perfect role. Seemed.
Beginning with the wedding of my best friend to Stephanie's sister in December 1997, we pursued a long-distance relationship, a lot of phone calls, a lot of handwritten letters over the next course of the next 11 months, and 3 in-person visits. And in November of 1998, exactly 11 months later, we got married.
That was fast. We don't recommend that. In some ways, it was good. But I had never seen my parents argue, not one time. So I entered marriage with the misconception that everything was going to be perfect. And Michael and I both loved the Lord, but the first 4 years were some of the hardest years of my life. I had moved across the country with no family or no friends, and I had to rely on the Lord exclusively. So I wanted to be the submissive wife, but I also wanted my thoughts and my feelings to be heard. But my selfish nature and my tendency is to be in control of situations and manipulate those and control those to turn them into the way I want them to turn out.
My folks raised us outside the health that comes with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. During their marriage, they consistently argued and yelled and threw stuff. Not at each other, I just want to add. And left myself and my siblings trying to figure out which one of us was more to blame for all the issues our folks were having. I brought a very immature, selfish, self-centered mindset to our marriage. Very much, man is the master, I'm the leader, therefore everyone submits, even my wife, using scripture to run over my wife as opposed to redeem her the way Jesus Christ had called me to. Also brought to our marriage an issue with porn, a lack of knowledge with finances, and lack of respect for my wife's family. Part of my brokenness was the universe revolving, unfortunately, around me. I was a pastor at a church and a priest in my home, and my process was completely unbiblical and misdirected. The turnaround. For me, I realized that it wasn't a specific moment, but a series of markers that reminded me that I can't be a fan of Jesus' leadership. I have to be a follower, including inside my marriage. Marker 1 was infidelity, porn, like I'd already referenced. Marker 2 was lack of proper stewardship, especially with our household finances. And marker 3, my family's perspective, not only of Stephanie's family, but of my own family. I knew I needed to commit to a personal, progressive commitment to Jesus in each of these areas and to our marriage relationship. As I continue, even to this day, to be reminded how much Jesus loves me, it allows me to love myself because of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, and it frees me up to love Stephanie the way she deserves to be loved.
Okay, that almost made me cry. So just like Michael, it wasn't a specific moment that turned things around, but years of the Lord working on my heart and revealing things to me. So for example, I went to Pennsylvania a couple years, or I guess after a year or two of marriage, and just watched my parents, and especially my mom, and just how controlling she was with my dad, and it just really made me realize how controlling I could be with Michael. So it was a constant struggle and is still something that I have to work on, but my eyes were finally open to the fact that I had a problem with control. So I truly believe the only way that we made it through our first few years of marriage was because we both loved the Lord and He was the center of our relationship.
Which is awesome. One of the changes God has made in our relationship is the shift from fighting with each other to fighting for each other. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, "Do you not know that you're a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Another change is my trust in God's sovereignty to build our marriage as opposed to me being the handyman, fix it on my own, broken leadership style that I thought for sure was effective, but was in fact further damaging our marriage. Proverbs 16:9 says, many plans a man makes in his heart, but the Lord directs his footsteps. I have a deeper understanding of God's love for me and a desire to allowing God to lead me so I can better lead Stephanie in our marriage.
So God has definitely softened my heart to want to follow Michael and support him instead of wanting to change him into my perfect partner. I have come to realize that Michael has my best interest at heart when he makes decisions for us and for our family. And I have learned to respect and love Michael more and more the longer that we're married. And as God softens my heart and reveals his truth to me. So I'm constantly reminded in our marriage of 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, which tells us what love is and what love is not. And it is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not proud, rude, or self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails.
So, after 18 years, we have gotten to a place, we continue to go to a place in our marriage where we're just becoming at ease with each other because of Christ's work in us. For all you athletes in here, you're going to understand this is an ongoing play in motion, right? In which the Lord will guide and remind us that our marriage can continue to move away from survival and continue to pursue significance, which is what we want, not just for us, but those two young men that we're trying to raise. 1 Peter 3:18, great reminder to us. Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. And that truth is for every one of us in this room. Couple of questions for y'all to chew on and think about and process is, at the end of the day, within the context of your marriage or whatever stage you're at right now, is, do you trust God? Because as I look back on our marriage, that's been the big question that has either moved us forward or caused us to take a knee, is, do I trust God in our marriage, that he is sovereign, that he is in control, and that he does love us? Thank you very much. Appreciate it.